Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. It's a little warm. You know, we got this big house out here, and the AC unit for this part of the house having some trouble. So I might be a little irritated today. Maybe. No, I'll keep it dialed in. Hope you guys are well wherever you are today. It was Mississippi State's day with the SEC media over in Atlanta. We'll talk about that today. We've got a cool top 10 list for you, too, to kind of commemorate a historic occasion in not just American history, but in world history. Yeah, we'll take a look at the baseball portal and talk about a few other things. And, really glad to be with you. It is the hump day edition of the Yard. Guys, we're only like a couple, like almost 2 weeks away from the day that we're going to have football practice. Yeah, you'll start seeing some practice reports pop up around the country, and man, it's going to be here before you know it. And it's so crazy, too. Like, you know, you hustle and hustle and hustle. You get through a baseball season, you have the coaching search, you have all the portal stuff, and we still got a little bit of that left to go. You get through the draft, and then it's SEC Media Days. And so, guys, it's 365 now. I mean, there's no offseason. And I think you guys prefer it that way. I know I do, right? Now, we have to grind a little bit in July to produce content. We got a content plan every day. We have to grind a little bit. But the good thing is, you know, high school recruits are at home, and it's easier to get a hold of people this time of year. But nevertheless, I'm excited about football season. And now, here's the disclaimer in that, okay, I'm not overly optimistic about Mississippi State this year. I am expecting to see some real progress this year. Do I think we're going to challenge for the playoff? We're going to go win 10-11 games? No. It's not going to happen. And if it does, man, what a year we've had. But, I mean, just kind of getting back to it, I love college football season. I do. I love it. And if you're like me, I can watch whatever's on. You know, like we have Maction on Tuesdays, or typically a pretty good Thursday night game somewhere, high school games on Friday night. And then Saturday, of course, you know, we're covering Mississippi State, but I love those Saturdays that we have an open date because I am such a fan of college football. Just to get up in the morning, you know, watch game day, and then kind of get into it 11 a.m., and then you're watching football the balance of the day. It's, you know, being lazy is not something that comes natural for me. Now, my teenage self might disagree. But I do enjoy the chance to be entertained with college athletics. And, you know, Sundays, you know, you watch a little bit. I'm not really a huge NFL fan, or many of you are. And here's the deal about that, too. It's like, you know, I know a lot of people in the media that you know, they're very much involved in pro sports. Like it's a huge thing for them. I'm a Steelers guy, and I'll watch the Steelers. And if Dak is on, I'll watch Dak. But, you know, I typically am just kind of working on our stuff here. Like, as soon as we get into Sunday, I'm already thinking about the next week. You know, I typically do the first look article. Like, you know, go look up and see if our opponent's head coach said anything about Mississippi State the next week and that sort of stuff. But I do enjoy the fall weekends. I enjoy the fall weather, too. You know, not all of us look good in shorts. And I think it's okay for us to admit that, I'm kind of entertaining in shorts, you know, because my legs are inked up. But not all of us look good in shorts. And that is a shortcoming that is difficult to overcome. You can get in the gym, do some leg day stuff. But the reality of it is most of you, we look better with more clothes on. And I like leather jacket weather. I like scarf weather. I enjoy all that stuff. But I know many of you always say, you know, hey, man, I won't complain about the heat in the summer. You know, I'm not going to complain about it either, but it's hot. It's hot. And along those lines, too, as uncomfortable as today has been for me, I'm very grateful to work indoors. There are so many people out there that are part of our infrastructure locally, regionally, and nationally that do a very difficult job in the elements 365 days a year. Make sure you get out and hydrate if you're one of those folks. And I always think about our farmers, man. I do. I'm always thinking about that. You know, the tractors of today have a lot more amenities if you can afford them. But that is a very dirty and hot, necessary job. So to all of you out there farming this great land of ours, here's to you. Let's take this time now to, thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. I'm craving some Bulldog Burger Company now. So if we don't get it for dinner, I hope to have it tomorrow for lunch or dinner. And, the bride, a little more petite than me. Yeah, I'm 6'2", she's 5'3". We make it work. But for her, Bulldog Burger Company sometimes is lunch and dinner because the portions are so substantial. And we're not too good to eat leftovers. You know, we're not. Sometimes when I make a meal, I make enough for her to have something to bring for lunch tomorrow. And some for myself, too. I don't like to eat the same food day after day. But I could eat Bulldog Burger Company every day, I believe. Because there's so many great options on the menu. Whether you get the sweet heat chicken sandwich, the sloppy Joe sliders, the BLT salad. I like it grilled. You may like it fried. It's all cool. But the main reason you go are to enjoy those great hamburgers. If you're a newbie to Bulldog Burger Company, let me encourage you, start with the Bulldog. You can't go wrong with the Bulldog, the signature burger of Bulldog Burger Company. It's a good, straight, American, rock and roll hamburger. And maybe on your subsequent visits, we branch out a little bit. Live on the wild side a bit. Maybe get that Freshman 15. That was my second burger. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was so good. There are some moments in your life that you kind of have an eidetic memory about. That's one of them. Having that Freshman 15 with that cheese on there, incredible. Incredible. Maybe go have one for yourself. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer to make you and everybody around you better looking. We all need more of that. And get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Rich and Floyd area. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. Okay, before I get too deep into what Jeff Levy had to say today, and you can read all of the SEC Media Days coverage for free at jeanspage.com. We had every story up before noon today. That's all three of your players, Blake Shapen, Isaac Smith, Brennan Thompson, and of course Jeff Levy's small room gathering and the big room stuff. All that's available for free at jeanspage.com. And again, we want to be your source for Mississippi State information, whether you're a subscriber or not. So we make a lot of our big room stuff, team stuff for free because we want to provide a service to you. So, we had all this stuff about lunch today. So go by and check it out if you haven't. But one of the things I want to say, and listen, I hate to sound a little judgy at times of people in the media because I'm part of the media. And I'm sure at some point I have asked a question that other people in the media have kind of scratched their head and say, what is he doing, right? Let me tell you this, and I think it's disrespectful. I honest to goodness, I know maybe there is no ill intent involved, no malice aforethought. I think it is disrespectful to Jeff Levy to show up there if you cover another team and ask him about former players. I don't think that's the venue to do that. That's just me. And you say, but Steve, where's where I have access? We have a very limited time in the big room. And let's not waste a sitting SEC coach's time talking about former players, some of which who left under difficult circumstances. Now, Jeff Levy's paid a lot of money to represent Mississippi State football. And you think, hey, well, I'd like to get a quote. Well, the quotes you got from Jeff Levy today were pretty abbreviated, and I think a lot of that maybe says how Jeff feels about the quality of the question. That's just my feeling. Like, I would never, ever, 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 under any circumstance, contact, like, let's say for an example, we've had a lot of guys that have transferred in here. Am I going to go make a request to go interview his position coach from his outgoing school? No. Do you really think those guys want to talk about the guys that left their program? I mean, honest to goodness. I mean, it's just kind of short-sighted. I mean, it really is. You know, and everybody just needs a quote for their article. You know, I think, listen, I don't go to media days. Dave Murray goes for us and loves going. Dave loves going, all that glad-handing and all that kind of stuff. And I joke with Dave, I think sometimes you wanted to go to see who was still alive, you know. But the reality of it is I don't really enjoy going to media days. It's a lot of pomp and circumstance. You don't get a whole lot from it. But we do staff the event. But it's like, you know, I can't imagine asking Dave to go in there and ask us another SEC coach on the record about a player that left their program to come to ours within the league. I just, you know, it's just me. And I think it's uncouth. That's the word for it. It's uncouth, if you ask me. He said, but Steve, you know, you're being a little bit ridiculous here. Maybe so. But I would rather hear Sam Pittman talk about Arkansas. I would rather hear Brian Kelly talk about LSU. I want to hear Jeff Lebby talk about Mississippi State. And I think Jeff Lebby wants to talk about Mississippi State. I don't think Jeff Lebby wants to talk about the past. I think he wants to talk about the future. I mean, honest to goodness, you know, Hugh Freeze and I have a history. I would not show up at SEC Media Days and ask him about that stuff. Anything that happened at Ole Miss or NCAA stuff, no. I mean, that stuff's ancient history now. I'd want to know, hey, Hugh, tell me about Jackson Arnold. Tell me about your quarterback situation. You guys getting better on offense? That's what this is for, right? That's just my opinion. But I think it's disrespectful. And I can tell you, you know, being around Lab now for, what, 18 months or so? I can tell you that even in our own media sessions, like Jeff, when we go in there on Monday, outside of a couple questions, you know, because there's some boilerplate stuff we got to do on Mondays, right? We got to ask about injuries, even though we're not going to get a lot of information. There's an obligation there. We have to ask about injuries, especially if there was one that we all saw on the field, ask for an update on a player. That has to be done. And then, hey, coach, after watching the film, is there anything that jumped out to you that maybe you didn't know on Saturday night? That's pretty much it. But there have been some times, some people that didn't go cover the game on the road, they kind of want to recap the game. And I can tell in Jeff Levy's countenance and also some conversations that I've had with other people in the football program, Jeff's ready to move on. Jeff is ready to get on to the next week. And so if he feels that way about a Monday presser, how do you think he feels going to SEC Media Days and somebody asking him about a player that's been out of his program for 8 months? I just think it's silly. But let's get to what Jeff Lebby had to say about your Bulldogs, because that's what matters most, right? That's what matters most. And I did think there was some good questions about Mississippi State. And that's what you want to know, right? Do you really want to hear him talk about Michael Van Buren and Mario Craver? No, of course you don't. Of course you don't. It's over and done with. Somebody asked him specifically about Blake Shapen, right, about his injury history, and he has been injury prone throughout his career. It's all been different injuries, right? Some of that's being a smaller quarterback, right? I mean, that's just the reality of life, and Blake's not the biggest guy. He works hard, put on some muscle and that sort of stuff, but he's not the biggest dude. But they asked him specifically about, you know, the depth chart at quarterback, and Lebby says, hey, we have a room right now that's got great depth to it. I agree with that, Jeff. Obviously, the addition of Luke Cromanhawk coming over from Florida State, playing as true freshman last year, having to live some things, a kid that is incredibly talented, a top 75 player in America coming out, just a year removed from that. I'm excited about him, a big athletic kid that can do a lot of things. He provides great depth. The signing of Kamario Taylor for us, the highest-ranked quarterback to be signed at Mississippi State, that's actually not true. That was Sawyer Robertson. A young man that has an incredible amount of potential. We have a room right now that has layers to it, which I'm very excited about. Again, Blake has done an incredible job leading that group. These guys understand, man, the exception of how we have to work at that position inside our program. A couple things that I'll say about this. See, I'm actually a Blake Chapin fan, and we need him to stay healthy, and we needed him to stay healthy last year. And I remember I was in my bedroom on my phone, just kind of doom scrolling and watching a little TV, college football, and I got the call that we're about to release a statement. Blake Chapin's done for the year. And I said, well, the season's over. You know, any possibility of us getting to a bowl game is exhausted. It is. Now, not that I expected him to go on the road and beat Texas and Georgia, but I felt down the stretch there were probably some winnable games that were no longer winnable because of inexperience at the quarterback position. I think we're in a much better situation now. Luke Kroenhawk, obviously, has some Power 5 experience, or Power 4, whatever we're calling it this week, because of his time at Florida State last year. And so this is a guy that has been in the huddle in games that matter against opponents of SEC caliber type programs. And there is Kamario Taylor, who I think is probably the most talented athletic quarterback we've had since Dak Prescott. And I think probably that freshman Kamario Taylor would probably put Dak Prescott in a locker. I mean, that's no disrespect to Dak, but Kamario is a very gifted athlete. Very gifted. So we're in a much better situation now. And so, yeah, listen, I hope Blake Chapin plays every down between now and the bowl game, other than when it's mop-up time and you want to get some reps for some other guys. I hope that's the case, right? But in the event that we have to use that depth chart, we are in a much better position this year. And you think about that, we had 2 4-star quarterbacks backing him up last year with Michael Van Buren and Chris Parson. And Chris didn't fit the scheme. We wish Chris the best. And Michael Van Buren's a guy that struggled on the leadership side of things. Getting a little bit deeper here, we talked a little bit about flipping the roster, right? And guys, we know this. We cannot continue to go out and sign 30-plus players in the portal every year. We can't. And we talk about rev share. We talk about NIL. It is just not sustainable. We just don't have the resources to continue to do that. So we got to get right this year and get some younger guys kind of developing in the pipeline that are going to stay with us. That's an important aspect of this. We cannot continue to be so reliant on the portal. We had to be the last 2 years, but my hope is this year, you know, we can use it to supplement maybe where we have some deficiencies, and we had a bunch last year, and it showed on the field. But they asked Jeff about kind of flipping the roster. Coach Levy says, for us again, we're going to get things done and change the outcome this fall because of how we practice and how we prepare. That's the reality of it. I've talked a ton all day about, man, we also have to become a team. I feel like our football team today is a lot closer and a lot more connected than it was a year ago, even with all the turnover. I'm excited about that. I believe that's because of guys like Brennan Thompson. When you find a guy that's one flat good enough to be able to be a difference maker on your team, but it's about the right stuff and the right person, they have a chance to truly impact not just in between the white lines in the field, but in your locker room. That's what we're looking for constantly. A guy like Blake Chapin being able to be back for year two, that's what happens. Isaac Smith, now year three for him. You have to have guys that are about the right stuff, and then we have to go practice.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit MyFreeStyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's the right way to change the outcome. Everything that he said there, even though a little bit of it was coach speaky, is absolutely correct. Guys, we had a lot of problems last year. A lot of problems that, you know, weren't made public. And again, it's like I go back to this whole thing about Michael Van Buren and Mario Craver being best of friends. That's a lie from the pit of hell. My goodness, man. That's basically a confession of no sources is what that is. We had a lot of problems last year with those guys. And again, the rest of the media wants to talk about those guys. Let's talk about it a little bit, okay? We had problems with those guys. They're very immature. They're very irresponsible. And we had to entrust our season into the hands of those guys that hadn't grown up yet. And my hope is they do. They'll do it somewhere else. But losing those guys was addition by subtraction. And that's not sour grapes talking. If you talk to anybody that actually knows what's going on in football, they'll tell you the same. They'll tell you the same. We talked about the quarterback room, much better shape. And yeah, listen, Kevin Coleman, pretty good dude, right? I mean, every guy has their moments. The receivers, kind of by and large, are kind of prima donnas. But, you know, Kevin's a guy sometimes that didn't want to do everything, but man, but he showed up on the field, right? The thing that I have learned, and you'll have to pardon my French here a little bit, I would rather have a hole than an a-hole, if that makes sense to you. And you feel free to utilize that in your own life. I'd rather have the hole than the a-hole to make it PG-13. It's not going to do it. I mean, you talk about it, and that's kind of, this is what Lebby's telling you without telling you, right? He talks about Brennan Thompson being a guy. It's a great person, the right fit, helping you on the field and in the locker room. We had locker room troubles at times last year, and not really because of the staff. Now, and you, people forget, you know, we ran some guys off last year during the season because we had to for the betterment of the team. We get to the running back room. Last spring, Jeff Lebby said, that room's got to get better. Well, it didn't get better, and actually we lost Jeffrey Pittman along the way. Very talented guy. He's a Southern Miss. I'm sure he'll come out with a chip on his shoulder to play us on August 30th. That's fine. But we have transformed that running back room from a deficiency to a strength. Adding Fluff Bothwell, fortunately, the Pavia ruling works in our favor here to get Booth back. And to give you some clarification on that, there was some – all these handlers – an unlicensed agent, we're telling all these guys, hey, you got JUCO guys, you got two more years of eligibility. Well, in order to be eligible for the waiver, you had to still be in your five-year clock. And there were a lot of guys, obviously, that were not. You know, maybe they redshirted somewhere along the way and spent 2 years at JUCO and they'd already have played 5 years in some respects. Well, they weren't eligible for the Pavia waiver. Well, Booth was. So that's an unexpected return for us. And again, you guys saw basically from the Florida game up until the Ole Miss game. We didn't have a good game running football against Ole Miss. But getting Booth back, getting Bothwell in, impressive. Let's hear what Hale Levy had to say. Well, I'm excited about the running back room. Thank God, Jeff. We bring back Davin Booth. Johnny Daniels comes back. And that's a nice piece for us. But those guys for us last year, our two leading returners from a rush game standpoint, then having the addition of Fluff, that room right now is probably the deepest room on our roster. That's a great expectation. There's a great expectation for production from that group. It's a group that's done a great job. They were third on our football team from a GPA standpoint, have just crushed it on the field and off the field. I'm proud of where that room is, but excited about the chance to go have great production. Guys, even if we just like getting Fluff back or getting Fluff in, and you think about, you know, X and those guys getting better. It's getting some guys back. And then you throw Davin on top of it. I mean, it's incredible to think about what that room can be. Because you got a handful of guys now that have a lot of SEC snaps under their belt. And then you bring in one of the best portal running backs in the country and Fluff Bothwell. So, yeah, we're going to run a lot more. And Jake Wimberly asked me earlier today about, you know, what do you think, you know, the running game needs to do to improve? I think the one of the main things we got to do is we got to be better up front, right? But more importantly, we got to be in games in the fourth quarter, because when you're down two scores in the fourth quarter, you're basically throwing it all the time. You know, you need to have a lead where you're salting the game away with your running game. That's a big part of this. So, yeah, I think the running game could run for over 2,000 yards this year combined, because I think we're going to be in more competitive games. At least that's the hope anyway. That's really the hope. I don't think there's any question about that. Let's get to the defensive line conversation. Lubby says, that was a huge point of emphasis for us. Rightfully so. We all knew this. Again, we've talked a ton about roster and the change and turnover, but inside the defensive line room and at the defensive end position, 10 new bodies since January 1 have come in. And that room has added great depth, but I think we've added some real playmaking ability. We've talked a ton as a group and a staff and a unit in creating negative plays, creating sacks, finding ways to create turnovers. That'll be a huge part of our success this fall. Those are the things that you can go measure every single day. Having the ability to change the D-line was huge. Again, we're nowhere close to where we need to be. We got a ton of work to do. From body standpoint, we're in a much better position. And that's the end of quote. That's the challenge now is you have the raw materials to reinvent this defensive line. And just by being big enough, that makes a big difference, right? Just by being SEC quality size. We were very undersized on the offensive line and underexperienced. And you forget, last in the SEC in sacks last year. Last. Now, I haven't gone back and done the math on quarterback hurries, but I suspect we were probably last in that too. Now, some of that is because teams got separation in the first half and ran football in the second half. You can't get to the quarterback when he's handing the football off. But we had trouble getting to the quarterback even when things were even. And that's why you make such a commitment here on the defensive line part of this. And, you know, that's – to me, one of the most important aspects of this team, if we're going to be what we think we can be, a lot of that is going to have to start when it comes to the defensive front. I think linebacker room is going to be good. I think secondary is going to be good. But the secondary is only going to be as good as the defensive front. We got to get pressure on the quarterback. Interesting. One more question, and we'll kind of move on here. But he talks a little bit about culture. And culture is a big thing, when it comes to bringing in so many new guys. Like, you got to find the right fit in the portal. You got to find guys that are already buying into what you're about. And so Lebby talks like this. He goes, yeah, we're not trying to create a new culture. We're going to be exactly true to who we're supposed to be, what we're creating. I think the difference in a team today compared to a year ago, besides the physical parts of it, is are we closer as a football program and as a football team? The only way you do that is to spend time. You've got to take the right people. I've continued to talk about that. Protect the locker room. Protect the pig by taking the right people. That's what it's all about. Again, I think from a culture standpoint, that's the buzzword. I think people inside our building love being there. They love each other, and they embrace the hard and are ready to go chase it. I think that is a very significant quote because I think so much of that is going to define the season. Yeah, I'm not saying you got to like everybody, right? I mean, you think about the people you work with. There are some people you like more than others, and there are some people that get on your nerves. There are some people that maybe you don't like, and you kind of limit your time around them as best you can. You know, that's part of the human experience. But when you can get people who maybe would never congregate together under any circumstance other than locker room in the meeting room, and you can get everybody to buy in to one goal, you know, having one heartbeat, that became the real thing. You know, everybody kind of pulling in the same direction. That's not to say we're not going to have fights in practice. We are. That's competitive nature. When you get alpha dogs out there locking horns, at some point somebody's going to throw a punch. You know, back in those days, we'd go watch Jackie Sherrill's group. They would get out there and throw blows almost every day. And to be honest with you, I like a little bit of the rogue aspect of football. You got to have some guys out there that know what it's about. It's not the Boy Scouts. It's the Southeastern Conference. I remember being out there with Dan Mullen, seeing some guys have a little skirmish out there. I remember many times, you know, Dan Mullen would go gig right in the middle of it, you know. And, you know, sometimes you got to let guys kind of work it out. And so I know many of you, and I love you, I do. You know, many of you, you see the guys in their suits walking through the dog walk, and you think, man, they're just all fine young men. And in many respects, they are. But I like the fact that there's a little something more underneath the polyester suit, right? I need people that are going to be absolutely warriors on a football field. And then they can turn it off when they leave. They go get the shower, and they go be Clark Kent again. But we need guys that are out there that are willing to go out there and fight for Mississippi State. And so, yeah, I don't want any bad actors. But at the same time, too, I'm not putting together a glee club. And I think when you look at what we've done the last year in recruiting, I think we have found some of that. You know, we have found some guys that I believe are going to be difference makers on this team. And I think there is going to be a bit of physicality that maybe didn't exist last year. I think there is going to be, you know, some chips on some shoulders. You know what I'm saying? Right? There are some people with a lot to prove this year. And we talk about having the right stuff, right? And I think there was a lot of question last year about keeping Coleman Hutzler. And I believe we were the first to tell everybody, kind of warm everybody up on the message board, don't be surprised if he keeps him. And, of course, there were a lot of comments within the fan base, but, hey, you know, this is a historically bad defense. You got to move on. And you know what? Those concerns were valid. But Jeff Lebby decided, you know what? I'm going to be loyal to Coleman because I understand he did not have the horses last year. I got to go get him the horses. But we didn't just do that. We went out and hired Paul Rhodes. We went out and hired Mike McIntyre to help kind of shore up the game planning, to give Coleman Hutzler some resources he didn't have last year, not just from a player standpoint, but from a support standpoint. So I commend Jeff Lebby for that, for recognizing, okay, I believed in Coleman, which is why I hired him, but I've got to put people around him to help him be successful. Every one of us needs that. Everybody. We need an infrastructure around us that is conducive for success. And I think it shows some maturity in Jeff Lebby. It's like, hey, I want to keep Coleman, but I've got to do some things out here, number one, to help him, but also, two, to kind of send a message to our fans that we're not just going to run it back at the status quo. Then you go out and you hire, you know, Vincent Dancy, and it helps shore up the pass rush a little bit. You change some things there, you know. And I think that is an important thing as we kind of move forward, too, is, you know, we didn't just decide, okay, let's just go back and do the same old thing. And then we get into post-portal stuff, and we change the offensive line coach. Now, Phil Loadholt was a name that popped up when Lebby first got hired. You know, some people said, hey, Loadholt is a Lebby guy. He'll hire him, maybe as an analyst-type role, but he's going to hire him. Didn't work out because he had a chance to go to Colorado and be on the field. He wasn't going to take an analyst job at Mississippi State. We had a chance to be on the field at Colorado. And then we bring him back as the O-line coach. And so, again, you know, Lebby made some changes. Now it's time to see all this kind of take root. I know you guys feel like I do. I just want Mississippi State to win. I want Mississippi State to win. I want to have packed out Saturdays at Davis-Wade Stadium. Whether we all agree on how we get there or not is really irrelevant. But I want to hear cowbells clanging, and I want to see smiling faces, and I want my inbox to fill up every Monday of everybody looking for tickets because they're sold out. Right, I need to find some tickets, man. That was the thing about 14, man. It's like every Monday I heard from cousins I hadn't heard from in years. Hey, man, can you help me get some tickets? I want to bring the kids up to watch Dak and the Bulldogs play. Yeah, I want to get back to that when it's the hottest ticket in town, right? When they're putting us on the cover of Sports Illustrated, that sort of stuff. That's what we need to get back to. We're not there yet, and hopefully this year we'll be a step back in that direction. All right, time for our close with Blair Player of the Day. It's going to be Isaac Smith. I thought he was absolutely outstanding in his media opportunities today. What I've seen and what I've transcribed, I think that he is a great ambassador for Mississippi State, as is Blair Chandler. Visit him at closewithblair.com. That's the website you need to know. Let me give you the number, 601-500-2344. How many times in life do you go visit a website and you just can't get a hold of anybody? The number that I'm providing you gets you directly to Blair. Not a call center, not a receptionist, not to his administrative assistant, not to anybody that works for him or with him. That goes directly to Blair. You get the big man himself. 601-500-2344. 24 years in the industry. Nobody stays in any industry 20-plus years by accident. Blair Chandler is a winner. He can make you a winner, too, and get you to the closing table when so many others can't. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, or perhaps that game day condo, Blair Chandler, the name to know in mortgage loan origination. All right, time for today's top 10 list, brought to you as always by Kalito Guitars. Kalito Guitars, your one-stop shop for all your guitar needs. It is a Mississippi State-owned and operated company. I like to keep business in the family whenever we can. These folks are true maroon. They're going to give you some incentive to do business with them too. So look at the quality of their products, their expertise, the quality of service before, during, and after the sale. A lot of people, you know, you buy something online and then, you know, they don't take your calls anymore, right? Not with Kalito Guitars. Whether you're looking for guitar cases, gig bags, accessories, or the guitars themselves, you can get name brand instruments at a discounted price directly from them, whether you're a beginner or a professional. All grades of guitars available for your guitar needs, acoustic, classical, electric, everything you need to get up and running and be playing like a pro, you can find at Kalito Guitars. Now, promo code BSR, right? Mention that to them whether you're shopping in person at the showroom in Lake Jackson, Texas, or you can call in, tell them, hey, I heard about you guys on the Barnyard. I got a promo code BSR, or you can use it online. Either way, it gets you a 10% discount off your purchase price, gets you free shipping, gets you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas, and they will make a 5% donation of your purchase price to the Bulldog Excellence Fund, helping Mississippi State athletes one guitar purchase at a time. Absolutely. Kalito Guitars, C-A-L-I-D-O guitars.com, your one-stop guitar shop. All right, some guitar stuff today. Today is the anniversary of the Apollo 11 launch. You know, Neil Armstrong, those guys went and walked on the moon. I believe it happened. Some people don't. A lot of people say, well, you know, it's alleged. You know, something about the hammer falling, there's no gravity, whatever. But, you know, if you look at Neil Armstrong as he's hammering, he's moving downward, right? So there's a lot of conspiracy theories. I believe the lunar landing happened. There is evidence that there are human articles on the moon, which is rather interesting since some people say we didn't go to the moon. But nevertheless, in honor of that, it happened July 16th, 1969. The launch took a couple days to get there and get to the Sea of Tranquility. But nevertheless, here are your top 10 songs that have moon in the title. Yeah, you never know where it's going to go. Number 10, and this is a song, too, that was a little bit controversial. Not the song, but the subject matter itself. A lot of people back in the day used to say that Stevie Nicks was a witch. And considering how youthful she looks today, maybe she is. I don't know. Beautiful, incredibly talented, maybe one of the best altos that the world has ever seen. But it was a track from Fleetwood Mac's album, and it's Sisters of the Moon. And some people kind of assign motive to that. You know, listen, you guys know Silver Springs and her kind of punking out Lindsey Buckingham. But, you know, the truth of the matter is the two of them were an integral part of one of America's great bands. So anytime we can celebrate Fleetwood Mac, we like to here on the show. Number nine, and this, one of the reasons this is a little lower, even though it's a great song, is because the lunar landing was a very positive thing, but this one's kind of bad. It's Creedence Clearwater Revival's Bad Moon Rising. you know, we could probably work in some Jim Morrison to Mojo Rising or whatever. Be a great name for a band. But yeah, I like CCR. It's so interesting to hear Southern rock from somebody from California. Number eight, somebody else too that kind of got in some trouble with folks in the South with his hit song Southern Man, of course, which led to the great Ronnie Van Zant and Lynyrd Skynyrd singing that a Southern man doesn't need him around anyhow. You know it. It's Neil Young's Harvest Moon, and it's kind of a fun song. It's kind of Americana-ish. If you don't know Neil, you probably should. You know, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young for a while, and then they drop Young, and you know, there's a lot of stuff with that. A lot of drama in bands. You ever want to find out your faults in life, either get married or join a band. All right, number seven, I started to go with the Thin Lizzy song of the same name. It's not the same song, it's just the same title. But I thought we don't get to celebrate the one-hit wonder of King Harvest enough. And it's great. It's great. It's dancing in the moonlight. The harmonies are infectious, man. Absolutely infectious. Think you'll dig it. All right, number six, a guy that I've met, actually had dinner with, and it was a cool experience, but it was really not just a bucket list type thing. It was there was some needs there, and mutual friends connected us, and I went and spent some time with John Corabi when he was opening for Brother Kane over in Huntsville, Alabama, and ended up running his merch table for the night, and really think John is a great guy, man. And I shared this with you guys before. Like when I heard The Scream, his first band, and sadly that album is out of print. You can find it on YouTube if you're so inclined. My favorite song on that album is Outlaw, but really dig it a lot. I hope to cover it someday before I get too old. But the lead single on that album from The Scream led me to pull over at Tile Records there in New Orleans on my way to a show. I swung in there and bought the tape, and then eventually the CD. I have it on vinyl too. I have three versions of this album. That's how much I love it. And if you go to one of John's shows, you can get it on vinyl. But it's Man in the Moon. If she ever comes back, it'll be too soon. I'm doing fine, just me and the man in the moon. Great song. And it's not available on iTunes, but John does an acoustic version on a solo album that he did, but also his third band, Union. And now he's singing for Dead Daisies and doing well. And we think a lot of John. John, of course, the vocalist on Motley Crue's self-titled album, which I think is one of their best albums. I know some of you don't agree, and that's okay. But Corabi is a beast, man. That guy can really, really sing. And watching him open for Brother Kane, just him and an acoustic guitar, and seeing him move thousands of people was incredible. So shout out to John Corabi, whose number I have. And what's interesting, too, is to show what a nice guy John is. I get ready to leave John. He comes off stage, and I think I sold about $1,000 worth of merch, and I bought like $100 of my own stuff. And John's like, hey, man, I don't want to be weird with you or anything, but, man, you came a long way to visit with me. Do you mind texting me? Just let me know you made it home okay. And I did, you know. And great guy, man, great guy for sure. Love John. Number five, you know, we celebrated the music of Great White after Jack Russell passed away. And, you know, Mark Kendall and I have had some interaction over the years too. And I got some friends that are great friends with Great White and with Mark. Mark is a brother in recovery, has done a lot to help a lot of other people and musicians in recovery. Just a great guy in music. When you get a chance to go see Great White, I encourage you to go do it. You know, Brett, the new singer, is really good. Last time I saw him was down in Biloxi with Slaughter. We had a great time down there. So I think Artie Cosby was down there, his wife. But deeper cut today, it's Desert Moon. And I love all the bluesy stuff from Great White, but the up-tempo stuff really kind of gets my motor going. Desert Moon's one of those tracks. Number four, a band that I've never really been a fan of, but it is impossible to ignore their influence on music. I know many of you are huge, huge, huge R.A.M. fans. I am not. But I do respect Michael Stipe a lot, not only as a musician, but an advocate for the things that he believes in, even though that we don't believe in a lot of the same things. I admire his passion and his ability to stand up for what he believes. And I think that is a lost art in America today, is to have a mutual respect even when we have a difference of opinion. That's one of the reasons that I think I have as many friends as I do, is because I give my friends room to be them, right? Not they need my permission, but some of my best friends are people that I disagree with politically about several issues. But I love them just the same. And I'm glad that they're in my life, because when an issue comes up that maybe I don't understand, I reach out to them and say, hey, where am I going wrong here? You know, what are they so upset about? Can you explain it to me in a way that I can understand? And they're so gracious because I'm willing to learn. And I think that's one of those things that maturity teaches you, is once I really understand what's driving somebody else's belief system or driving the passion behind whatever they're advocating for or against, I have a new level of understanding about them. And I can at least respect it. Even if I don't agree with them, I can at least respect the fact that there is a well-reasoned argument, at least in their minds, to support their stance on things. And I think we all need friends on opposite sides of the political aisle that we can have a healthy dialogue with. I think that's one of the most important things in life, is to have somebody that can frankly and honestly share with you things that maybe you don't understand. It's true. Number three. Kind of a reggae song, a little bit different than everything else in their catalog, but I guess occasionally they would work in kind of a reggae beat every now and again, but it's The Police is Walking on the Moon. The video, of course, is like in front of some rockets and stuff like that, and it's a little different, but I think you'll have some fun with it. Number two, now this was a huge, huge, huge hit, and I guarantee you this is a forgotten song for many of you, and for those of you in my generation, you'll likely go add it to your playlist, because when you comprise your playlist, you just didn't even think about the band Savage Garden. You didn't. And everybody knows Truly, Madly, Deeply, and what a great love song that is. But kind of the song that got them going was To the Moon and Back. Love that track. And I don't sing as well as he did, or I wouldn't be doing a podcast about Mississippi State. But I love the fact There is like this gentle nature in his vocal quality that really appeals to me. A little bit like David Glasper from Breathe. I like those people. Like, I respect people that can do things that I can't. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not a hater in that respect. There are some people out there that are simply more talented than the rest of us. And that's one of the reasons that we go out and buy records. That's one of the reasons that we go to movies and go to ball games, is we respect people that can do things that perhaps we can't. That's what makes them heroes. And the guys from Savage Garden, it didn't last long, but man, they had some really good tracks. And I think this is the best one, To the Moon and Back, another great love song, but it's an up-tempo song. It was very much radio-friendly. But number one, and it's with great honor to introduce again an Ozzy Osbourne track, and you know what's when it is? You knew it when I said we're talking about the moon. You knew Bark at the Moon was going to be number one, because I'm a Jake E. Lee stan. I love Jake E. Lee. I love everything Jake has ever done. And again, so incredibly touched to see Jake take the stage at the Back to the Beginning show for Ozzy and Black Sabbath. And it's very easy to get emotional about all that stuff. I'm not chasing my youth or anything like that. I mean, you wouldn't know that to look at me, but I understand it's a rite of passage, but it's one of these things, man. It just makes me sad to know that it's probably the last time we're ever going to see Ozzy Osbourne on stage. It sucks, man. It really does. And my hope is, though, that now that Jake is kind of back in the forefront of things, that maybe Jake will pick up some work, and maybe Jake and those guys will put another band together. You know, they did the Red Dragon Cartel, and it's great. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know that anything will ever recapture the majesty of what he did with those two albums with Ozzy. And he and Jake wrote Bark at the Moon. And then the two albums, well, three albums he did with Badlands. And they're very difficult to find. You can listen online. I love the self-titled album, but I also love Voodoo Highway. I think Voodoo Highway is more bluesy. And Red Gillen kills it. And, of course, there's all this talk about how Red Gillen acted in the final days of his life. And you know, I don't know how you feel about that, but that's up to you. But I contend to this day, as an 80s rock aficionado, that the peak Ozzy years were with Jakey Lee. That's not in any way a shot at Randy Rhoads or Zakk Wylde or Gus G or anybody else. He said some phenomenal guitarists, Bob Daisley, but to me, Bark at the Moon, Ultimate Sin, two albums in a company, and I think they're just simply the best. And I know a lot of you are Blizzard of Oz and Diary of a Madman folks. I love those albums too. And I think Randy is the better technical player. I just think Jake probably fit the genre a little bit better. I mean, when Randy hit the scene, we hadn't heard a lot like him. It was kind of very reminiscent of Eddie Van Halen. But I think Jake, the rhythm pieces are a lot stronger. And I think the solo, and again, Killer of Giants is in my Twitter bio, and it's because of that song on the Great Ultimate Sin album. Be sure and check it out. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out and let us know. The best way to do that is to hit us up on X. You can find Roy Samanti at Dogmatic67, DawgMatic67. We've made him a minor celebrity. He's had people ask him for pictures, which is kind of cool. But also, too, you can find our list on Spotify under that same great handle. And I'm on all forms social media at ScoutSteveR. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart. And why? Because they have the things we covet. And I understand it's a commandment. I get it. I'm not in any way suggesting that you go out there and lose your religion. But I'm telling you, when you need Mississippi State merchandise, you're going to find everything you want and need at Campus Bookmart. Whether it's apparel, whether it's gift ideas, whether it's things you need to detail out your fan cave. And it's like you never have enough, right? You can never have enough. That's the one room in the house we can let get a little bit tacky. It's okay. You can buy what you want. Next time you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces. You'll be glad you did. If shopping is not a good game day activity for you, that's cool. Visit them online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Lawyer Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. All right. Unless there has been some activity in the afternoon, the baseball portal still has Mississippi State number one. 64 Analytics, our friends at 64 Analytics. And here's my disclaimer, and I appreciate the work they're doing, and it gets better every year, right? And you look at last year, what was it, six teams that were in their top eight portal rankings became top eight national seeds. So there's got to be something to it. But you know, they tweak the formula a little bit every year, and I really believe over the course of the last 2 years, it's gotten better. And you could say, well, Steve, you say that because Mississippi State's number one. No, I say that because of the fact Mississippi State's got a big portal class. But yeah, and I've met the guy that runs 64 Analytics, had a chance to sit and visit with him in Houston when we were down there playing baseball, and I got a chance to kind of pick his brain a little bit, and it's a live and learn process. And again, I think it's getting better and better. It's so much work, right? There's so many thousands of players that go in there, and you got to evaluate these guys, and you know as well as I do, it's so difficult to get tape on a lot of these guys from smaller schools. And so it's difficult to rank them. So there may be some diamonds in the rough. And that's the thing. The longer they do it, the better they get. It's just like with recruiting rankings for football. In the infancy of all this, people were counting offers because you didn't have access to video. And, of course, huddle came around. Every kid's got a huddle. So it makes it a lot easier. But, again, we are supporters of 64 Analytics. But, again, I say it's an imperfect deal, but they're doing the best they can. It's all we have. And I appreciate their efforts to kind of fill a need in the college baseball coverage. So I wanted to run a couple things down for you because, again, we get so acutely aware of what's happening to us because we live in the big maroon bubble, right? Right. And every time, and I'm going to be honest with you, not a lot bothers me, but this always bothers me. And it's usually the same few people that do it. And I know one of you listens to the show, so I'm going to ask you, please stop being negative about everything that happens, because more times than not, you don't know the details behind it. But every single time that the portal opens for football or for baseball, It's the same post. I mean, you can borrow money against it because it's coming. Are we even going to have a team next year? Well, of course. Of course we are. How preposterous is that? And I know you're seeking attention and engagement farming and all that kind of stuff. Can we just stop? Can we just stop? Please, for the love of all things holy, please stop with all this negative hyperbole. Stop. All right. Ran over. So Mississippi State had 18 players to the portal. And, of course, we wonder if we're going to have a team, right? And, I mean, just like the other day, I saw some people venting and ranting about, oh, we lost these players in a draft. Well, guys, we lose juniors every year in the draft. What are you talking about? Forget the fact that we've already got 16 guys in a portal, the biggest portal class ever. We've already got a signing class on the way to Starkville, many of which you already hear. I mean, really, it's just a confession that you don't keep up. You say you love Mississippi State, but you don't read. You just post. But we had 16 players hit the portal, and a lot of people freaked out. So let me run it down for you as best I can. Alabama had 13 hit the portal. Arkansas had 14 hit the portal. And of course, they got absolutely devastated in the draft. Auburn had 7 in the portal. Florida had 7 in the portal. Georgia, a top 8 national seed, had 14 in the portal. Kentucky, 16 in the portal. LSU, defending national champions, 10 in the portal. Missouri had 24 in the portal. You'd expect that, last place team. I got to get the heck out of here and find somewhere I can win. Oklahoma, 13 in the portal, and they absolutely got ripped in the draft too. Ole Miss had 10 in the portal. South Carolina had 21. No surprise there. And I hear that the culture there is incredibly toxic. Tennessee. I think most people would agree Tony Vitello, among if not the best coach in all of college baseball, had 25 players hit the portal. And you factor that in with all the attrition in the draft, it's going to be pretty much a completely new team next year. Texas. Team that was the top 8 national seed, 19 in the portal. Texas A&M, last year's preseason number 1, 13 in the portal. Vanderbilt, nobody leaves Vanderbilt, right? 11 in the portal. So, again, 18, yeah, it's a little bit on the higher side. We had a coaching change. You know, the teams that are behind us, you know, Missouri didn't make a coaching change, but they were the last place team in the league. South Carolina didn't make a coaching change. Tennessee certainly didn't make a coaching change. Texas didn't make a coaching change. They were number one team in the country most of the college baseball season. And so I throw that out there. You know, we're in the middle of some attrition. There's going to be roster attrition when you make changes. You know, I think some of the guys that we had maybe fit what Chris Simonis and his staff was looking for, but maybe not what Brian O'Connor's looking for. And you got to give your new coach the opportunity to get their own players. That's just kind of how things work. But on the flip side of it, let's talk about players coming in. As we mentioned, Alabama lost 13. Well, right as of now, they got 11 coming in. So, you know, it's about 6 one way, half a dozen the other. Arkansas loses 14. They got 9. Not a great portal class for Arkansas so far. They do have a pitcher that's pretty good get. And they always seem to get one, like a Friday night guy in the portal. They had Mason Molina, didn't work out. And then, Zach Root obviously was pretty good for them. Maybe not what people were expecting, but still pretty good. Auburn has 8 coming in, 7 going out. And, that's probably what you want. Florida, same thing. Georgia, 21 portal players. And the thing that we're hearing in college baseball circles is Georgia basically is recruiting less and less high school players and becoming more reliant, trying to basically be the LSU of the East. And Wes Johnson came from LSU, and obviously that was the path to success when Jay Johnson first got there. You go out and get Tommy White. The difference is I just don't think Georgia has the same financial resolve to win big that LSU does. Kentucky, 13 and 16 out. LSU's got 7 coming in. Yeah. Of course, we have 16, which is the largest portal class in Mississippi State baseball history. Missouri has 7 coming in. And one of those, Jacob Pruitt, and he got drafted and is going to sign. But they got some SEC guys in the mix there. You got an outfielder from A&M coming in, an outfielder from Texas coming in. And they got a few guys who have got some SEC experience. Oklahoma has 9 coming in, Ole Miss with 9, South Carolina 17 coming in. And then Tennessee with a dozen. You know, Tennessee loses 25, adds a dozen. You know, so they're going to try to get it done with high school signees. Texas with 9 coming in. And, again, they have 19 going out. So that's minus 10. A&M 10 coming in. And Vandy with 6 coming in. And Vandy has just not been a great team in the portal. They had a kid last year. I won't say the name. Had a kid last year. And I kind of blame the staff for not doing their due diligence. They had a kid. He committed. He signed. And then he couldn't get in school. And so he had to go back to their school. He ends up getting drafted anyway. But you should have had that all resolved before you had him leave. You know, just my personal opinion. So let me go back and share this with you, kind of where everybody stands in the SEC. I'm going to go by where we'll start at the bottom, and we'll go by their national rank. So we're going to start at basically 16th in the SEC. And work our way up to number one. And you know who number one is. It's like you knew Ozzie's Bark at the Moon was number one on the moon list. You know Mississippi State's number one right now. You know. But we'll start at the bottom. And, of course, it's Missouri. They're ranked 75th in the country, according to 64 Analytics. And, again, I got a lot of guys coming in from, you know, smaller schools. Vanderbilt's 55. And, again, the smallest portal class in the league. So you don't have as much to work with. Makes good sense. LSU, a team that has basically lived in the portal since Jay Johnson got there, is 47th in the country. So not even top 10 in the SEC, much less top 10 in the country. Number 19 is Ole Miss. 15 in the country is Florida. Texas A&M, 13. Arkansas, 12. And Arkansas has been really good in the portal the last 2 years. They don't have a ton of guys, though. Yeah, they did pick up Vandy's Ethan McElvain, so maybe he'll be a difference maker for them. Oklahoma, 10th in the country. Alabama, 9th in the country. Kentucky, Nick Mangione has kind of lived in the portal too. Number 8 in the country, but again, a lot of that too is just kind of the number of players. I mean, there's not a lot of schools, even in the conference, that have double-digit transfers. Kentucky has done that multiple years. Auburn, again, just the 8 transfers, but the number 6 portal class. Now, I can't say they've got a ton of like top 50 players, but they've got several players that are rated pretty well. Number 5 in the country is South Carolina. And I spoke to John Whittle, who's our friend that covers the Gamecock baseball program for our 247 site. And I asked him, how do you feel? He goes, well, we got a lot of pitchers with potential, but not a lot of production. We got a lot of DH types that don't have a natural position defensively. So we'll see how it goes. But again, some of that, too, is the byproduct of them having 17 transfers. Texas, 4th in the country, and 4th in the SEC is the top 4 programs in the country. Top 6 programs in the country are all from the conference. But Texas, big pitcher, Wake Forest, Hayden Lefeu, headed out there. Of course, Luke Dotson's headed there, too. He did get drafted, but I'm told he is expected to go to school. So I don't know if he's announced yet, but that's something that we expect to happen. Number 3 in the country, and again, you know, this is, again, more about quantity than quality. Georgia has 21 transfers. They lead the country in incoming transfers. At some point, it catches up with you. It does. Because you're not going to hit on all those guys. I guess when you sign 21, maybe you hope to hit on 10 of them. But that's not a good enough ratio to continue to spend that kind of money. But I'm sure the folks at Georgia feel like, hey, we're just a couple players away from getting to Omaha. Number 2 in the country is Tennessee. And again, Tennessee, a lot of attrition this year. About a dozen incoming guys. And then, of course, Mississippi State, number 1. Now, there will be some adjustments. Because right now, Davion Hickson still counts, and Davion Hickson has not signed yet, but we expect him to sign his pro deal. That was the plan all along. So there may be a change at the top. We may drop from number 1. Tennessee may overtake us, but I do think State will take 1, maybe 2 more guys in the portal, maybe an arm. And I feel like now with Jacob Parker heading to campus, you know, maybe you don't need another portal outfielder. I think that was kind of the push. And a couple decisions didn't go our way. And then Jacob Parker does come our way. A guy that we weren't expected him to make it is now heading to campus next week. Along those lines, too, and I shared on jeanspage.com and on Twitter that Jack Bauer, the draft ended, and he boarded a flight and flew to Starkville. So the draft ended on Monday. He was here Monday night. If that says anything about his intentions all along, right? And again, we share with you on the show, he was the guy of the, quote, big four that we felt was most likely to make it to campus. And we end up getting two of those four, which is a best case scenario. And that's one thing, if you are a subscriber to Gene's page, we've talked about it all along. Best case scenario was to be able to get Bauer and Parker, Jacob Parker. We knew JoJo and Landon Harmon were going to sign, and Les Landon just didn't get drafted high enough. But you knew JoJo was going to be number one. And so our folks were prepared. Many of you maybe weren't, but that's the way that we saw it. And we shared that with you guys, and it worked out pretty, that aspect of it worked out pretty much as we hoped, but not necessarily as we expected. I really thought Jacob Parker would get drafted high enough to sign. And of course, as I spoke with him yesterday morning, we wrote a story about it, shared it all over social media because it's such a good news story. He got several calls in the second, a bunch on day two, and elected, you know what, I'm going to go to Mississippi State. Feel like that's going to prepare me more for life. If he had gotten first-round money, obviously he signs, you know. But the reality of it is we benefit from that. We're excited about it. It'll be interesting to see what happens if they move the draft. You know, for us, I'd like to see them move the draft up. Like, you have to be 21 or 3 years removed from high school. You'd be a junior, right, to be draft eligible. So if they move it up, which makes good sense, you move it up, gives you a little more time to kind of work through the portal and that sort of stuff too, because there's a lot of guys that are waiting out the draft before they make portal decisions. But if you move it up, you know, guys are going to be younger when the draft takes place. Make sense? So let's move it up, I don't know, maybe a month. You know, people were upset. Like, there's no happy medium here. Because remember, like, we would have, the draft was taking place while teams were playing in Omaha. Then the draft was taking place when guys are playing in super regionals or regionals. And they go, oh, this just isn't right. Guys find out in the middle of a game. So let's change it. So we moved it back. And then the portal became a thing. And so there's a lot of complications with it. The number one thing I'll say is the baseball portal is too long. It shouldn't be 30 days. It should be 15. Because people know, you know if you're going to transfer or not. But what happens is guys start seeing portal commitments come in and they want to go run and jump and get in the portal because there's somebody in their ear. It gives these agents less time to work and kind of influence kids in a negative way. And because here's what ends up happening. You have people then that want to sit on commitments. I want to sit on these commitments. I don't want them announcing until after the portal closes. And you could say that's kind of a bait and switch. Maybe that's being dishonest and disingenuous. Well, that's the system that Major League Baseball has created for us, kind of unofficially in conjunction with the NCAA. So what I think you do is shorten the portal to 15 days, move the draft up to maybe do it July 4th weekend. I don't know. You know. But again, I think everybody is well-intended. But the way we're doing it now, I think, only adds, you know, more chaos to all of this. That's an important aspect of this. We talk about protecting the student-athlete, but it's just kind of lip service. You know what I'm saying? It really is. There's not a lot of this stuff that's happening. And I had a discussion just yesterday. And I won't tell you who with. It's a name you know. You know, about some of these agents out there. Like, when you don't have a licensed agent, you don't have uniformity with this NIL piece, right? It's one, like the major league agents, like the Boris Group, Paragon, those are licensed agents, right? And so there are caps and restrictions. But when everything is handled through these third parties that are not educated, not licensed, not experienced, you have people taking a bigger cut. And it's basically exploitation. And that's one of the things that we, as the adults in the room, have to kind of get our hands on. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town. I encourage you, visit the Stark Vegas Clubhouse Facebook page. You can peruse through all the amenities available to you and your guest. Just Google it. Just Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. It'll pop up for you. We stayed there. We had a great time. I loved having everybody under one roof, and the more my family grows, the more eager I am to go back and to spend a few days with the people that I love the most, right? And we say it all the time, we don't get together enough. Guys, I'm going to tell you, somebody has to take responsibility within the family or friend group to make that happen. That person's you. You need to make the move. Be a linchpin in your friend and family group and say, you know what? We're going to do something epic. We're all going to stay in this one great, big, wonderful house, the old renovated country club, clubhouse, just out past the Highlands, 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. We can do our tailgate right there. We can prepare meals right there in the full-service kitchen. We can have a drink at the wet bar if we want to. We can chill on a patio and watch a sunset. And when that happens, we can go light a fire and just hang out around the fire. But not to mention, a lot of great accommodations, 6-bedroom, 3-bath. It's just such a good place. I'm so glad that we stayed there. I got a chance to tour the place before we began a working relationship. And then I said, you know what, I want to go out here. And the wife kind of brought it up one day. You know, she goes, hey, why don't we rent out the Stark Vegas Clubhouse and have all the kids come to town for New Year's? And we did. And we kind of had a kind of a later Christmas then because we want Santa Claus to come to their houses, right? And the older we get, the more those things matter. You know, come next month, 3 of my kids are going to live in 3 different states and not Mississippi. My youngest one will still be here at Mississippi State, but I can tell you, I covet those days and I long for those days when we get everybody together, when we can just be a family. So Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Some booking options come up. You can go Airbnb, VRBO, no matter how you want to do it. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. Promo code BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. Just saving a few bucks to stay at the premier place in the Golden Triangle to bring a large group. And again, you got to do it. You have to do it. You owe it to yourself and to your family to get everybody together and have a great time at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. And again, just so convenient to campus and to all the places that you love in the greater Golden Triangle area. All right, time for an opponent preview. We'll spend our last 20 minutes or so talking about the University of Georgia. And again, I don't know what we did. For all those years, we never played them, and now it seems like we're playing them every year. I did enjoy going over and, you know, covering a game last year in Athens. I like Athens. I think it's a great college city. I've covered college baseball there and college football. I've gone to, what's it called, the Needle? I think it's what it's called, the Needle. That's not right. Anyway, there's some famous club there that, what's it called, 90 Watt maybe? Anyway, it doesn't matter. But anyway, it's where REM kind of got their start. And now on top of that, too, I went to the steeple, you know, of kind of the mother church of REM music. Went and checked on that, too. So it's a great place to go and visit. A lot of good shops there. A lot of great little local restaurants. I actually went to an AA meeting when I was out there. Good recovery community. And had a meeting right there in a coffee shop. You know, so much for anonymity, right? But it was a nice place. It really was. But looking back at last year with Georgia, they opened up with a very impressive win in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium over Clemson. And everybody expected Georgia to be really good. And I think that very first game, you're like, you know what? Maybe they are. They really got after Clemson. And Dabo Swinney's made some enemies. I don't know if I get that. But anyway, it was a big win for Georgia. Then they bounced Tennessee Tech 48-3. And then all of a sudden you look up, and we talk about this all the time. Going to Lexington is just so weird. It's just a weird environment. And I think, hey, if you're Mark Stoops, you love that, right? I mean, you love the fact that it's a weird environment. Guys, Kentucky led this game 6-3 at the break. And then they traded field goals in the third. And Georgia had to score a touchdown in the fourth quarter to win this game. 13-12 is your final. And, midway through the fourth quarter, Kentucky makes another field goal to pull within a point. I mean, like, they're just one drive away from upsetting Georgia in Lexington. Again, it's just such a weird deal. I can't explain it. They go to Tuscaloosa, and I think most people felt like I did that Georgia would run all over Alabama. They didn't. Alabama wins that game 41-34, and it was one of those classic-type games pretty early in the year. It's like in September. It's like a playoff-quality atmosphere. Night game, Brian Denny, great game, and Alabama wins it. And then all of a sudden you start wondering, you know, Georgia struggles against Kentucky. They lose at Alabama. Maybe they're not as good as we thought. Well, they bounce back and they beat Auburn 31-13, but it was really kind of a snooze-a-thon, right? It wasn't just like this offensive firepower type thing. It was just kind of a grinded out game. And then we went to Athens, and Michael Van Buren played well. He did. And then you look up after one, and State's been a touchdown. And then in the second quarter, they began to get a little separation from us. But, you know, you look up and say it's 27-10. You know, if we can kind of get something going here, you know, maybe, just maybe, we can make a game of this. Well, we didn't. They came out right out of the gate, opening drive, and go down and make it 34-10. But we didn't quit. Johnny Daniels with a 19-yard run makes it 34-17. Defense gets a stop. We go down. Michael Van Buren, touchdown pass to Davin Booth, makes it 34-24. So it's a 10-point game going to the fourth. And then we just couldn't get enough stops, and they beat us 41-31. But again, I think a lot of people, even though in defeat, we came away feeling like, you know what, maybe it's not so bad. Honestly, though, after watching State play against Texas and watching State play against Georgia, I just felt like Carson Beck was so erratic at quarterback that Texas would find a way to win that game. And they didn't. And that Georgia defense absolutely stifled the Texas offense. They went 30-15. A couple weeks later, they play the game in Jacksonville against Florida. Georgia coasting that thing, 34-20. They go to Ole Miss. And again, this is one of those games that kind of kept Ole Miss in it because they lost to Kentucky. And you think, there's just no way. Well, Ole Miss wins the game 28-10, and again, that Ole Miss defensive front really stood strong and shut down the Georgia running game. And then all of a sudden, Ole Miss is back in the playoff chase. Didn't last, but they were there. They bounced back and beat Tennessee 31-17. Of course, they cakewalk UMass 59-21, and then a barn burner of a game. And give Coach Key and those guys a lot of credit at Georgia Tech for the year they put together last year. It goes 8 overtimes. And Georgia finally wins 44-42 to keep their playoff hopes alive, right? Well, then they make it to the redemption game against Texas in Atlanta. They win that game 22-19. Gunnar Boykin took over late after Carson Beck got hurt. And then they go to the Sugar Bowl and they get beat by Notre Dame 23-10. So it was still a really good year. I mean, obviously, they're a playoff team. And, you know, you felt like, you know what? Even by Georgia standards, it's a good team. Their fans, of course, have gotten kind of spoiled being in the playoff, the championship game all the time. Didn't quite work out that well. They get a bit of a laugher, I think, in week one. You know, Marshall, of course, had 30 players hit the portal after Charles Huff left. So it's kind of a makeshift roster. We got some Bulldogs that are transferred up there, too. We wish them the best. It's going to be a tough year for the Thunder and Herd. So Georgia will wax them. They get Austin Peay in week two. So you're not going to learn anything about Georgia the first 2 weeks of the season. But they get that road trip to Knoxville in the afternoon in week three. I don't think Tennessee is going to be as good as they were last year. And I didn't think Nico Iamaleva was great. I thought he was good, not great. We'll see what happens in a quarterback situation. Tennessee still a little bit unsettled, but we'll see how it goes. And then they get the revenge opportunity against Alabama is they will make the trip under the lights. Alabama, Georgia should be good. Then Kentucky travels to Samford, should be a dub. They go to Auburn. This used to be one of my favorite series in the SEC, and I was glad they continued it. But the Georgia-Auburn game, like, it was always at night. It was always fun. Always something weird happened. And, of course, a lot of those kids came from the same recruiting footprint. So there was a lot of passion in the game. And Auburn's had their chances to beat Georgia in recent years. They haven't. But it's just so interesting how this series has kind of gone here as of late. You know, Hugh Freeze and those guys had Georgia beat a couple years ago and just couldn't close the deal. You know, I mean, you just got to go get a couple first downs and life is good. And, you know, Auburn kind of led throughout the game, but Georgia does what great teams do. They find a way to win late, and they did. And, yeah, Georgia has not lost to Auburn since 2017. Yeah, I mean, it's been a while. Of course, they bounced back and beat them in the SEC championship game 28-7. But Georgia's kind of on the series as of late, and I suspect they will again this year too. And again, last time they went down there to Auburn, Georgia wins 27-20. But again, if you remember, it was just a weird game. Then they get the world's largest cocktail party in Jacksonville on the 1st. The next week, they come to Mississippi State. Here's what I'll say. Number one, I don't expect us to beat Georgia, okay? I'm going to say that right now for the record. I don't expect us to beat Georgia. However, we could not have asked for a better situation with where this thing sits on the schedule. They have the open date after the Ole Miss game, and I don't think that's going to be the game that Ole Miss people want it to be. And then they go play Florida. Then they come to State, and then they host Texas. And you remember how wild that thing was last year. They played two games. Each team won one apiece. Oh, excuse me. That's not right. Yeah, Georgia won them both. But anyway, Texas is going to be the team that's picked to win the SEC. This is the perfect sandwich opportunity if you're Mississippi State. So we talk about how difficult the schedule can be sometimes. In this scenario here, it lays out really well for us. The rivalry game with Florida, the team they hate the most. Road trip to Starkville the week before you host Texas, who may be the number one team in the country. So we couldn't ask for better schedule placement. I don't think it's going to matter, but maybe that game is a little more competitive than people are forecasting. They'll finish up against Charlotte and Georgia Tech. They'll have to go to Atlanta to play the Ramblin' Wreck. But, again, very interesting schedule for Georgia. And, of course, they're going to have some younger players. But the way that Georgia recruits and the way that, you know, and I like what Kirby said at SEC Media Days. If you don't love the game, you don't want to work hard, then don't come to Georgia. I liked it a lot. And, we've had some guys, you know, that maybe have gone to Georgia and found out that the price of greatness was too steep to pay. You know, and it does everybody a service for those people to leave. I think that's one of those things that we talk about culture, and Georgia has had some kids do some stuff off the field that has been ridiculous. And Kirby probably needs to get a better handle on those kinds of things. But the reality of it is when you look at that team between the lines, they're legitimate. And they're going to be one of the more talented teams in the country. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But, you know, we'll find out what Gunnar Stockton's going to do. And, you know, Branson Robinson, God bless him. You know, he's had two major injuries. Now he's out of the program. You know, they did not run the football as well. And Georgia's always been able to have running backs. And a lot of that's because of the quality of their offensive line play. But it's going to be a much different deal, right? It's going to be a much different deal this year. You know, skill position guys, I mean, there's no point in even kind of running down the names because, you know, it's like we said, John Bon Jovi sang it right. It's all the same, only the names changed. They're going to have great skill people. They're going to have big physical offensive linemen. And we'll see what happens. You know, Nate Frazier, of course, Chancey Bowens will have opportunities, you know, to kind of see how things go, you know, this year. But you lose four starters in the offensive line, but I wouldn't worry about that. You know what I mean? It's like, especially with the warm-up games to open the season before you play Tennessee. And again, that Tennessee front may not be what it was last year. They're still going to be really good. But that's going to be interesting. But, you know, the Georgia defense, some of the better players in the country. Kirby and those guys have done a great job. Defensive front's going to be ridiculous. Going to have NFL talent all along the front. They're always going to have linebackers that can really run. You know, Glenn Schumann, of course, defensive coordinator. He's a guy that was mentioned for some head coaching jobs last year. He's even as a candidate for Mississippi State's job when we hired Jeff Levy. But that secondary, you know, you're going to have future NFL guys running around out there. I mean, it's going to be it should be a great team, and it's going to boil down to their ability to run the football and protect the quarterback. you know. And Gunnar Stockton, I think, might be a little bit better athlete than Carson Beck. And so when things break down, he's a little more likely to go make a play for you with his legs. And I think that's part of the deal, too. You know, when you've got a quarterback back there that can improvise and extend plays, and I think Stockton has the ability to maybe do that a little bit better than Carson Beck. And Beck was pretty good throwing the deep ball. He wasn't that great reading defenses. That's kind of the book on him. But, you know, we'll see what he does down there at Miami. You know, if he can ever get out of the house, pretty good living situation for him, right? If you know, you know. But, yeah, it's a game that I don't expect to win, but I do think it's a game that may prove to be more competitive than people expect it to be. And you never know what shape these two teams are going to be in when you get there. You just never know. But Georgia is a team throughout the year that should be able to out-talent most teams they play. Outside of maybe Alabama and Texas, they're going to be the most talented team on the field every time they take the field. So you got to do some things schematically. And we did make some connections against that secondary last year. So, you know, perhaps maybe Jeff Lebby sees, you know, some opportunities this year too. And we'll see. You know, we got to protect Blake Chapin. That's the reality of life. And life and times in the Southeastern Conference is we're going to play teams. At times at Mississippi State, they're going to be more talented than us. And we last year, just about every team that took the field was more talented than us. And there were some games that we kind of played above our heads, and sometimes we played down to our competition, and we paid for it. We're one of only, what, three teams in all of Power 5 or Power 4 that didn't have a conference win last year? That is an albatross that we got to address, you know. And so the sooner we do it, the better. We've got to get a way for people to buy in. We've talked about that Southern Miss game ad nauseum, and it's the most important game because it's the next game. But I think it's one of those scenarios, too, where I think Southern Miss is not going to be anywhere as nearly as talented as us, but I think it's a chance to go out there and play against a team that is going to be extremely motivated to beat you, not just for the sake of competition, but because they see you as an in-state rival, even though you don't see them as one anymore. They're going to have you in their backyard. Charles Huff is a guy, obviously, that's coached at Mississippi State. And so it's going to mean a lot to them. So we're going to have to bring our best effort. And, of course, the home opener, Arizona State, will be the debut of the new LED lights. And Zach Solomon says everything is working just fine. It's on schedule to do exceptionally well. A few more things to kind of figure out. But, yeah, we're going to be in good shape. And you saw the videos that have kind of made the rounds. And, again, I see some of this stuff, and I think it's silly, and I don't want to sound judgmental. And people say, well, you know, lights aren't going to get us wins, and that's true. But what is it? What does that gain? What do we gain from saying that? Right? Why can't we just be excited? I'm excited. You know, when Zach Selman told us last year he didn't know if he was going to be able to pull the LED lights off this year, it was so much that had to be figured out. You know, do we have to replace the standards? Can we retrofit it? We were able to do that. We had some donors kind of step up and make it happen. But when he told us, he didn't know if it was going to be able to make it happen. I'm like, this sucks. We've got to go another year like this. Now, this is the thing that I think about. If you were thinking about staying home, I think now when you begin to think about that night game at Davis-Wade, and we'll probably have two or three of them. You know, hopefully we have three. We'll certainly have two. But I think that Arizona State game, I think if for no other reason, the novelty aspect of it. Again, I expect us to beat Southern Miss. I do think it'll be a good game. But you got Arizona State coming in here, a team last year that, you know, they were better than us. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. We didn't play well. We gave them our opportunities. They ended up making the playoff. And so to get them back at our house with the LED lights, which should be a near-capacity crowd, it should be a great environment. And it's something that we've never seen before at Mississippi State. So, like, all the little pithy comments about, well, you know, just going to get us some wins. Well, yes, it will. And it may not be directly on the field, but to have an engaged crowd creates a great home field advantage. Not to mention, what does it do for recruits? They say, hey, look, Mississippi State's really committed to football. Look at this atmosphere. It's great. Everybody loves the cowbells. They love the crowd. Well, now you're going to give them something else a little more modern. The city of Mississippi State is kind of keeping up, you know, with the Joneses in that respect. And so it's a great thing. So if that's how you feel, well, that's not going to get us one. Just keep it to yourself. I mean, it just doesn't add anything to the conversation. Let's not have that negative attitude. We have them. We've wanted them. We didn't think we'd have them this year. And Zach Selman found a way to make it happen. surprised everybody, and now here we are. Just, you know, what, 6 weeks away from being able to enjoy those? I mean, 7 weeks? Let's get excited. Had a great float yesterday. I hadn't floated in a couple of weeks. I could tell. Usually my wife can tell before I can. I'm going to be honest with you guys, too. Like, everybody's float's a little bit different. When I floated yesterday, I would say the first 20 minutes, like, I closed my eyes, and I just tried to let my mind rest, and I had all of these, like, images that kept popping in my mind for, like, a second, and then, like, before I could get focused, it would go to something else, go to something else, go to something else, and about halfway through the float, it kind of slowed down, and I felt a little bit of serenity, and then, like, the last 20 minutes, I just kind of felt like I was paralyzed in a good way, right? I just felt so incredibly relaxed. And I think you can probably tell my voice quality today that I feel good. And I think, you know, it's kind of the science of feeling good. Maybe you should feel good too. Give your mind a chance to have a mental reset. If you're a person that's got chronic pain or anxiety, we might be able to help you. But even if you don't have those ailments, you owe it to yourself to come float. I didn't open this business just for myself. When I first experienced this, I said, I want my neighbors and friends to have the opportunity because I need this in my life. Nothing has done more in my lifetime, for my better my anxiety than this. This has been the best thing for my anxiety that I've ever had. And I've done it all. I've been to counseling, took medication, tried to do all this other stuff on my own, you know, all this holistic stuff that you see online, this may help you. None of it really helped much. This did. And I remember being on Lexapro, man. I was just like, I felt like my emotions were muted. My wife even said that. She goes, I just feel like you don't have your spark. Well, this allows me to kind of relax, and I slept great last night. I woke up refreshed today, and again, I think you owe it to yourself. Come check it out, True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all that cool stuff. True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. Call 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to Dana. She can answer any questions you have, and if you come here in about 2 weeks, I'll be running a spa that weekend because I'm running a spa so she can go and see our grandson. She hadn't had a chance to see him yet, but it's also Vivi, our first granddaughter's birthday. So she'll get a chance to get some time off and go enjoy the grandkids. Come join us over at jeanspage.com. And if you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com. You can get signed copies of all my sports titles. That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dog Pile, When the Bottom Falls, of course, and of course, The Dude. It's still doing exceptionally well. Thank you guys so, so much. That's it for today. Be back on Friday. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.